Well, we all know that Jewish ministry is important, but why is it so important to the Lord? And what can every follower of Jesus do to make a difference in reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, if you love thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast here on The Line of Fire, you will thoroughly love this thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast with my thoroughly Jewish, thoroughly good friend and colleague, Scott Volk. So sit back, enjoy the broadcast. At any point during this live program that you want to call in to stand with us, to sow into Jewish ministry, to help us reach more Jewish people with the gospel, help us help Jewish people in the faith, help us stand with Israel. The number to call is 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Again, my guest in the studio today, he was with me Tuesday, but we didn't get as much time to talk as we wanted. We've got a thoroughly Jewish focus today. Scott Volk, welcome to The Line of Fire, Scott.
Thanks. A privilege to be here again.
All right. I got a really neat note sent to me on Facebook. I don't want to say where it was. I will just say it came from outside of America. And the reason I don't want to say where it is, because I have counter-missionary friends and rabbis and those who listen to the show and follow through often on Thursdays. They'll post, they'll get online, and I don't want a particular bookstore to get in trouble for this. But there's a thoroughly Jewish bookstore in a thoroughly Jewish, very religious part of a particular city. And a Jewish believer went in there, Scott, and he shot me a note wanting me to know that the real kosher Jesus was in that bookstore.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, awesome. We keep hearing reports of where the book gets and who it's getting to. But Scott, let me just ask you this. We'll take a couple minutes to lay this foundation. Is it just some Jewish fixation that you have, that I have, because we're Jewish followers of Jesus, some Jewish fixation, perhaps even with some arrogance or ethnic pride, when we say that the whole church should be involved in bringing the gospel to the Jewish people?
I don't think that there's any arrogance involved in that statement at all. As a matter of fact, I think it's arrogant to say the other thing, that the church shouldn't be involved with Israel. God's heart is for Israel. The Apostle Paul's heart is for Israel. Every Bible-believing person ought to, their heart ought to palpitate with that which causes God's heart to move, and that's towards his people, Israel.
And okay, we know that we should all be involved in world missions. We know that that's important, that we should all have a burden on some level to reach the lost around the world, and every church should be involved with that one way or another. But you're saying that although you can't say every church should be involved, say, with reaching India, reaching Africa, or reaching Canada, or Mexico, wherever, that every church should be involved with reaching Israel?
Well, if every church is desiring to hasten the day of the Lord's return, then I believe that every church ought to be fixated on Israel and the salvation of Israel. Because as you know, and as you've taught me, Jesus himself can't return until Israel welcomes him back, and Israel can't welcome him back until the church comes into their fullness. So part of every church's identity ought to be an identification with Israel.
All right. We come back. Let's talk a little bit about Romans 1:16, where Paul says the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Was that just a historical statement he was making? That's the way it unfolded historically? Or is that still God's heart? And then is that some type of favoritism that God is showing? And friends, we have some amazing open doors set before us. In fact, as soon as we come back, I'll tell you about one of them that I'll be working on this very day, right after the radio program. You can be involved. You can help us make an eternal difference in the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
God of It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. Michael Brown, blessed to be with you. This is day four of our first ever full week radiothon, which means we're sharing vision with you, building your own faith to encourage you, and letting you know ways that you can partner with us. There are so many significant open doors God is setting before us, and all we need is your financial partnership and your prayerful partnership for us to walk through these doors and reach more Jewish people with the good news of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, than we ever have, and help build them and strengthen them in the faith as they come to faith. The number to call to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. If you could become a torchbearer, a monthly supporter, that would be extraordinary. For all those giving at least $25 or more per month, we send you a new message every month, either on CD or by download e-link. We give you a 15% discount in our online bookstore and access to our online classes, and we will be adding a number of new audio classes to supplement our video classes very shortly that you'll be able to benefit from. Your one-time gifts are also warmly welcomed. And we've put together a very unusual resource package worth $70, actually, that we're sending out to everyone that joins with us with a one-time gift or becomes a torchbearer this week. Again, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Scott, before we get to Romans 1:16 and some of the open doors the Lord has set before us, many of my listeners have heard you on the air with me before, but many don't know you, as hard as that is to believe. Now, they'll get to know you 11 months from now on our first ever joint tour to Israel together with my friend, Professor Michael Redelnik. We're going to have special teaching we'll do. We'll go to key sites throughout the land. You've done many of these tours and know the best way to impact people. But even though you're Jewish, you're married to a Lebanese Arab believer, Jesus, of course, and you didn't always have this Jewish burden.
No, not only did I not have this Jewish burden, but I actually had an aversion to a Jewish burden because of what I perceived in my growing up years as a hyper-emphasis on Jewish-related things that just didn't even seem authentic to me. I'm not against blowing shofars, and I'm not against tallises or yarmulkes, but to me, it seemed like there were a bunch of Gentile people who said they had a heart for Israel and a Jewish burden and actually looked more Jewish than most of my Orthodox Jewish relatives did. And so it actually turned me off. But the Lord put his finger on my life about 3 years ago on an airplane flying back from Israel. Here I am even bringing people over without a full burden for it. It's crazy.
Right.
But on the way back from Israel, the Lord puts his finger on me. He said, "You're a Jew, and I've called you to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And with that, an amazing eye-opening spiritual experience. I really believe in a way the Lord lifted something off of my eyes that was blocking me to what really is his heart for Israel.
And not only did you used to be bothered by Gentile believers who were trying to become Jews or look like super Jews or something like that, you also weren't particularly drawn to Jewish believers. You know, maybe you thought that they were acting as if they were elite or special. So,
right.
Friends, it's important you understand that, because this is not like, well, Scott's a Jew, and you got to reach my people, and we're Jews, and we're going to live,
right,
you know,
right.
You've got an Israeli flag on the, you know, on the over the, you know, threshold of the door of your house and stuff. So this is something God supernaturally planted in you. And Romans 1:16, I know you've looked at that a lot. We've talked about it. I've given you books to read on that. Are you convinced that Paul was not just saying historically the gospel went first to Jewish people from there to Gentiles, that he was actually saying that there's a mandate, first the Jew, then the Gentile, and the preaching of the gospel?
Yeah, from my non-theologian point of view, definitely am convinced, because if it was just a historical fact, then when Paul had his life-altering experience in recognizing Jesus as Messiah, then he wouldn't have done to the Jew first. But actually, when you look through the book of Acts, every city that Paul went into, if I'm not mistaken, the first place that he would go to would be the synagogue. So apparently, this was not just some historical thing, but something now that Paul was living out as a gospel, as a as an apostle to the Gentiles, he still had a priority in his heart, because I believe it's God's heart, to reach the Jew first.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more later, and we'll even give scriptural thoughts about why everyone should be involved with this. And again, it's no money in your pocket or my pocket. It's all going to reach our people mm-hmm. and to stand with our people. And to say to the church as a whole, we need your help. This is a joint effort.
Right.
I'm going to talk to one of our missionaries. We've been speaking with our Fire Grads missionaries around the world. We're going to be talking to one of our leaders in Mexico, who's been on the field for years
Sweet.
Now, in a moment. But just want to say this to everyone listening. The Lord opened up a door for us to launch a TV program on NRB-TV that right off the bat is airing in at least 32 million homes. If you have DirecTV on your basic package, you'll get it. Daystar, you'll get it. There's an Android app where you can watch it. Soon there'll be a Mac Apple app where you can just watch it. You can watch it live online. There'll be other links, Roku TV and Google TV, these different things. And it's going to be called, Answering Your Toughest Questions. And we're starting with a 32-week series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. It's going to air Wednesday nights at 7 in the evening. Friends, this has never been done. I know the material we've prepared. I recently recorded the shows. We're going to be doing recording as soon as the show is over now. More recording for these broadcasts. They're going to be high quality, high def, in fact. This has never been done. Never before has a series like this aired, really in any setting, but especially on national TV. The amount of Jewish people we can reach with this and the amount of believers we can equip with this is mind-boggling. The door is open supernaturally, but there are still costs involved with it, and we do need your help. So would you stand with us today? Your one-time gift or becoming a torchbearer would mean the world to us and really put wind in our sails as we move forward with this new effort. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or go to askdrbrown.org and click on donate. With that, as our heart beats for the Jewish people, beats for revival in America, our heart also beats for the nations. And I want to go to Mexico with Andy Pricer. Hey, Andy, can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir, I sure can.
All right, where are you right now?
I'm at home in my office in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Guadalajara. How long have you been living in Mexico, Andy?
This August will make 14 years.
14 years. So
yes,
you and your wife, Karen, how many kids do you have?
We have three.
Three kids.
Brittany, Hunt, Julia.
All right. And when we sent you out, you were some of our pioneer missionaries, touched in revival, went out to the field. So how old or young was your oldest one when you went on the field?
Let's see. Brittany was 7, Hunter was 4, and Julia was 3.
All right. So they've spent most of their lives on the mission field now, part of a missions family. What caused you to uproot your entire family and move to a very different part of the world, and one where there's hardship in the living and a lot of challenges to overcome? What moved you to do that, Andy?
Well, short of saying, God himself and just being obedient to that, lots of things just came into play, and I really made sure I had a wife that had a heart for missions as well. She thought we were going to go to the Mormon in Salt Lake City, and I always wanted to come to Mexico. So here we are, and just going after it, and just the Lord's never put on my heart to go anywhere else. But you have to know that call at the same time. Karen, my wife, has a great story of just hearing the audible voice of the Lord of saying, Karen, will you go for me? Because she always felt like she's a submissive wife and just follow along. But knowing she heard from the Lord herself, she can't ever put the blame on me, but she accepted it. She heard the voice. So
wonderful. And Andy, we've got a minute before the break, then I want to talk to you just a little bit longer. But what kind of ministry have you been involved with now in your 14 years in Mexico?
Well, of course, you know my DNA is fire. That's what's in us. So we really focus on the supernatural, training in the supernatural, teaching in the supernatural, demonstrating the supernatural. We just started our Bible school up again this year in January. We had 40 students from 9 different churches. churches, that we're just equipping and training, and our goal is to send to the nations as well.
Awesome. Andy, stay right there. I want to talk to you just a little bit more when we come back. Friends, do you want to know what you get to share in when you sow into this ministry? Not only are you helping us be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, you are helping us on the front lines, reaching Jewish people with the gospel. And again, I've got some neat testimonies I'm going to share when we come back. And you're helping us raise up and send out people like Andy and Karen Pricer and their family, uprooted from the States, 14 years now, living in Mexico, pouring out their souls for the lost and to make a difference in the church there. You're part of that, friends. Together, by God's grace, we're making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dr. Brown, thank you so much for the work you're doing. As a former student of yours, I am forever grateful for the impact you've had upon my life, and also to Steve Hill, for whom I heard the message of the cross and responded in giving my life to Jesus in 1997. Forever changed.
Yeah, friends, forever changed. That's the goal. That's the goal. I'm going to connect to Canada in a moment for a really neat testimony. 866-348-7884 if you want to call in with a Jewish-related testimony that ties in with the show. And Scott Volk and I, we're going to be here talking for a whole lot of time. So stick around with us. If you have to get out of your car, you're not going to be able to listen by radio, just go to our website later today, askdrbrown.org, and just click on The Line of Fire. You can listen to the entire show. It'll be put online shortly after we're done on the radio here. Back to Mexico with Andy Pricer. Andy, you just heard a testimony by someone who was saying that she was changed forever by being touched in revival, being trained in ministry school. You're a living testimony to that, aren't you, Andy, that this was not just some emotional high that you and your wife experienced or getting a little bit excited, you know, being in powerful meetings. You folks have been branded for life by the Lord, haven't you?
Yes, sir. It's more than just a testimony. It's who we are. It's what we live. It's what we breathe and drink and eat. I really grew up in a Christian home and knew all the great Bible stories and married in the Christian church there in Beaumont, Texas. And my parents first went to the revival back in 96, shortly after it started, and told us all about it, and it sounded great and everything. But my dad, who's a licensed psychologist, when I heard that, he was in the parking lot laughing, looking up at the stars and just thanking Jesus. I knew something was different about this. Something was happening, because that's not him. So we shortly went after that, but through that first encounter that I had at the revival with God's presence, my marriage was restored. My love for him, my love for my wife, my love for my family, my love to for the gospel, to evangelize, everything just totally changed. So of course, for the next year, we would make trips back and forth from Beaumont, Pensacola, and then in August of 97, we moved there. Graduated school 2 years later in August of 99. We're living in Mexico. So once the fire hit, once the presence came, we went with it, jumped in both feet, and just drowned ourselves in the presence.
Awesome. Andy, we are so proud of you and Karen and the entire family, your faithfulness to the Lord, your faithfulness to reach the lost and to make a difference, and joyfully giving up the comforts of America to live in some pretty challenging places. We are totally joined with you, and you are part of our family, making fire proud. Keep burning bright. Give my love to your family.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Friends, for those that wonder, okay, well, what happens? You know, you hear about people being touched. You hear about lives being changed. How long does it last? That's how long it lasts. When it's really God, that's how long it lasts. Scott, I think you're going to enjoy this next phone call. Ron from Toronto, thanks for calling The Line of Fire today. Hello, Ron, are you there? All right, I think we just need you to turn your radio down there, Ron, and then can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, Ron, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thanks, Mike.
You called a few weeks ago with a wonderful testimony and then sent me an email update. So I just wanted you to share it in full for our friends here as we have this special Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. You came to faith in your mid-50s as a Jewish man and began to witness to your mom, but at the age of 97, she still wasn't a believer. So tell us the story.
Well, the process really started about, 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago. Yeah, I was, I came to the Lord in 2006. I was baptized in 2007. And from that point on, needless to say, my mother was somewhat angry at me when I told her that I was baptized at Easter. And she tried to figure this whole thing out. And it started from there. And we were joined by two other pastors, actually, who had one was a Presbyterian pastor who had her husband at the nursing home. Another was a Pentecostal pastor who had his mother at the nursing home. And we had teas together and things like that, but we started to become a lot closer. So inevitably the discussion would come around to Jesus. And, there was really the three of us and my mom. And, you know, like I say, it was an evolving situation, okay? And mom certainly was uncomfortable at first when we started even broaching the subject of Jesus. Because, as I've said to you, Jesus to a Jew equals the Christ, equals persecution. The Christians did all these terrible things to the Jews in the name of Jesus. This is my mother's biggest stumbling block, as it is with so many Jewish people, like myself, but even more so with her, because she's lived at a time where she would go onto a beach at 16 years old and see a sign with black background and yellow writing saying, "No blacks, no Jews," in 1931.
Mm.
And that etches in a mind of a 16-year-old who goes there with a few people for her birthday, sweet 16. Well, it wasn't such a sweet time. And she remembers those times when Israel wasn't Israel. They were still looking for a homeland.
Right.
So this was difficult. This was very difficult for her.
And Ron, just to jump in with a break coming up, she's had this resistance. You've been speaking to her. It's fully understandable. 97 years old now, but mind's still clear. You gave her a copy of The Real Kosher Jesus. She took her time, read through the book, and then afterwards, what did she say to you?
I came to tea in the afternoon, and I sat down with her, and she handed me the book, and she said, "All right, I'm ready to come to the Lord. This book is validated what I needed to know."
Mm. Mm. And Ron,
you know, it caught me by surprise, Mike. I wasn't ready for it.
Amazing. And Ron, we've just got about 30 seconds before break, but since that time, what has she been doing with the book and with her faith?
Well, she's been actually become like a disciple. It's like in the nursing home, she's been she's been asking a lot of questions, but she's been also telling other people at the home, you know, what's happened to her, and that she wants to share, you know, her now newfound belief with and in the book.
Amazing.
So she's
friends,
so excited.
Friends, we need to pray for Ron's mom, an evangelist in the nursing home at 97, that many other Jewish people will be touched with the good news. Man, thank you for calling to share that. I appreciate it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, friends, I hope you got to hear the phone call that we just got from Ron in Toronto. If you missed it, if you're just tuning in now, his 97-year-old Jewish mother, resistant to the gospel, associated the gospel with the hostility of the church that she experienced as a young woman, 1931, going to the beach for her 16th birthday, and there are signs at the beach, no Jews, no blacks. That's what she thought of Jesus and, quote, Christianity. Through reading The Real Kosher Jesus, God opened her eyes. She's come to faith and is now evangelizing in her nursing home. Thanks to all of you who shared in that by praying for us and by holding my hands up last year as I wrote The Real Kosher Jesus. 866-348-7884, the number to call. And as we're asking you to stand with us in Jewish ministry, to help us reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel with our new TV broadcast, our apologetics TV broadcast, that's going to start with 32 weeks of answering Jewish objections to Jesus. First time this has ever been done on national TV. That starts just next month in July, right about 1 month from now, with your help. To stand with us, 1-800-278-9978 to help us every Thursday broadcast around America and by internet around the world to be on your station right now. Number to call, 1-800-278-9978. If you appreciate Thoroughly Jewish Thursday and the other 4 days of the week here on the Line of Fire, stand with us or just go to askdrbrown.org and click on donate. We've got a special resource package we put together worth $70, including postage, two of my books, and a two-hour DVD debate that will enrich your life, I trust, and bless you. Our thank you gift for your one-time gift of any size or for becoming a torchbearer. Again, 1-800-278-9978. Scott Volk, my colleague and friend, joining me here today. When you hear reports about an older Jewish person coming to the Lord, having grown up in a Jewish home and having Jewish grandparents that weren't believers, at least through most of their lives, how does that strike you? What kind of obstacles have to be overcome for someone like that to come to faith?
Yeah, it's quite remarkable because, as you know, the word says that there's a partial blinder over the eyes of the Jewish people because of their rejection of Messiah. So when you hear of a 98, 97-year-old woman coming to faith, it's absolutely remarkable. It's the grace of God, and it's also a sign that we're getting closer and closer to the return of Jesus as Jewish eyes are being opened, and to think that this ministry played a part in that is really, I mean, it's staggering.
What about church history and the Jewish people?
Church history and the Jewish people has been something that I don't know, I don't know how Jews handle when they think of the church and when they think of what's been done in the name of Jesus, because many people who have purported to be quote-unquote Christians throughout the ages have actually had a hatred and an animosity towards Jewish people. Now, they might not have known the Lord like we know him today, but nonetheless, it was through the Christian faith, at least from a Jewish perspective, from a Christian faith, that countless Jews have died throughout history.
Yeah, I remember a rabbi at a public debate I was having saying to me, he was a friend, I'd known him since right after I got saved. He said, Mike, I could get in a boat and sail out in the ocean of Jewish blood that has been shed in Jesus' name. Another friend of mine, an ultra-Orthodox Jewish man, told me that if he sat down with his dad to talk about, quote, Christianity, his dad would literally vomit.
Amazing.
That's why it's so critically important that we show the world and we show the Jewish people who Jesus Yeshua really is. And that's why the whole church together needs to stand as one to help us reach the lost house of the lost sheep of the house of Israel with the good news of Yeshua so that our people can know who he really is. We'll be right back.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, blessed to be with you on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday to sow into our work, to hold our hands up in the Jewish ministry we're doing. The number to call is 1-800-278-9978. You know, Scott, I got a call last year from a rabbi who listens to the show sometimes. We had a very nice chat. Of course, he was a very literate man. And I asked him if he'd be willing to read a copy of The Real Kosher Jesus. And he said, sure. And gave us an address for us to send it to. We didn't put him on a mailing list or anything like that. We sent him the book. But I did see his name when we sent him the book. And sometime after that, Nancy and I were watching a news report of national interest and noticed that this rabbi was involved in what was happening. And I said to Nancy, that name is familiar. And I don't want to give more details because this is private in that sense in terms of his identity, but just something that caught our attention, that there was something that was happening on a national level and he happened to have some involvement with it. And I said to Nancy, that name is familiar. And I went and searched, and sure enough, that was the gentleman we had sent the book to. So it's our joy to send these materials out to thinking people, to educated people, to spiritually minded people, to people that want to please God and want to be loyal to the Jewish people, and to establish dialogue. What a joy to be able to do that.
It's absolutely amazing. I really want to encourage those who are listening, whether you're in your car or listening to the podcast, which I actually do, Mike, all the time.
Now to be honest, you listen always to Thoroughly Jewish Thursdays.
Yes, I do listen to Thoroughly Jewish Thursdays. I find them to be amazingly educational and enlightening to me. But I really want to encourage those who have the benefit of listening to be able to sow in. You know, I don't know of another ministry that is reaching the Jewish people and reaching the church with the educational value that comes out of all of your books and all of your CDs and DVDs. I really want to encourage the listeners to this broadcast to step up and really demonstrate more than just receiving great information in the Spirit through these broadcasts. I just really encourage you, give. Now's the time. And in this week that Mike is really seeking for torchbearers, I encourage you, lead the way. And your seeds, your financial seed is going on soil like I've never seen before. Because when I talk to people, even leaders in the messianic world, if they say that who is the one person who is the chief apologist for the messianic believers in the world, it's this ministry. It's Mike Brown. It's Dr. Michael Brown. And I encourage you, there's no better place to sow seed for the salvation of Israel than this ministry.
Well, thanks, man, for the good word, the word of encouragement. Do you remember going with me to New York City for one of my debates with Rabbi Shmuley?
I do.
Were you at the New York debate at the Hilton, the standing room only, who really killed Jesus debate right
yes.
before the Passion movie?
Yes, I remember that vividly.
Yeah, and it was, can you give a picture of what that event was like?
Yeah, I when I found out that, I think that might have been your very first debate with Rabbi Shmuley.
That was the second.
That was the second one. Yeah. Well, the fact that he would even debate you blew me away, but I thought we were going to walk into a room that was probably half filled with all believers. But when we got there and I saw the representation, the black coats, some Orthodox Jews that would never walk into a church to hear you speak, I was really, really blown away. And to have that opportunity in the heart of New York City really blew me away. There was electricity in the air. It was a hot debate. It was really, really an eye-opening thing. And to think that you, a Jewish believer in Jesus, get to do that and to reach these lost people, both of the House of Israel and in the world, it blew me away.
And there were about 1,000 people there.
Packed out.
Standing room only.
Yeah.
There was media coverage, secular media. There was a Jewish newspaper, The Forward, the oldest Jewish newspaper in America. I think it still comes out in English, Russian, and Yiddish, something like that, or Hebrew. And they did a full write-up as a result, a follow-up story on Messianic Jews that was a fair story. Mm. And, of course, Rabbi Shmuley was passionate, yep, brilliant as always. We got to lay things out. And it was right before the movie, The Passion of the Christ, came out. So there was tremendous interest in this. And we went back and forth trying to figure out the right and best name for the debate. Mitch Glazer from Chosen People organized it, Shmuley, me. And we all agreed on who really killed Jesus. Mm-hmm. So this was on a Monday, and that's when Newsweek, Time Magazine, the new edition would come out. And in those days, the print editions, these things were read much, much more. So every newsstand just packed with them. And there's a picture from the movie of the actor who played Jesus hanging on the cross, absolutely brutalized. And there's the headline, Newsweek, Who Really Killed Jesus? It felt like they were advertising for our debate.
Amazing.
There was someone there doing a documentary, actually, on the protocols of the Elders of Zion, on this notorious forged anti-Semitic document. They ended up excerpting from our debates that we had to put on that movie. They sent it to us subsequently. Well, a few weeks ago, here in Charlotte, North Carolina, I met a major sports executive. That's all I'll say. Major sports executive who's a Jewish believer. And actually, Nancy was introduced to him first. And a friend said, tell him who your husband is. And she said, Mike Brown, Dr. Mike Brown. And the guy just could not believe it. Then I was not far away. I got to come over and meet him. And he said the turning point, he had been in a Messianic Jewish congregation, but he was not a believer yet. The turning point was when he went to that debate.
Incredible.
And heard the message clearly. And we got to give out handouts. We gave out, printed 1,000 copies, you know, a nice stock paper so people would be able to keep it, just with scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. The first key point being that God gave his son. That I've never met a Christian who was mad at anyone for Jesus dying. We thank God for it. God sent his son.
That's right.
To be the savior of the world. So God gave him over to die. And then Yeshua said that he,
that's right,
did it willingly. He laid down his life. So we got that testimony. This is now 9 years,
amazing,
after the event to hear that was the turning point when he came to faith. And then I get a book by a Jewish psychologist, college professor, journalist, Bernard Starr, secular Jew. In the 80s, he went to India on a spiritual search, but otherwise was a secular Jew. And he writes this book called Jesus Uncensored, Restoring the Authentic Jew. He wants Jews to get over their Jesus phobia. He wants Jews to read the New Testament afresh and rediscover who Jesus is. He doesn't read the New Testament exactly the same as we do, but totally sympathetically recognizing Yeshua was born and died a Jew. Just wrote an article recently about Paul being a faithful Jew and so on. So I get his book because I was going to have him on my radio show, wanting to talk to him about a story. I get his book and I start reading through it. What was the turning point? What got him interested going to that debate in 2004?
That's amazing.
That got him on his journey. And then subsequently, he was at the Real Kosher Jesus debate that Shmuley and I did last year, Kosher Jesus debate that we did last year in New York City. He already had Real Kosher Jesus. I said, well, are you a believer? Do you believe Yeshua is the Messiah? And I goes, well, I'm not going to tip my hand. I'm not going to tell you either way. But it's amazing the fruit, bro, that comes out of these things.
Wow. Do you still have those videos available for people if they want to get them off of your website?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, can I don't know if I'm even allowed to do this. If I'm not, then you can tell me I'm not. But I know that you're giving out a package for people who are signing up to be torchbearers.
Today we'll switch, and we'll get them a copy. We're just reprinting that now. We will get them a copy of that debate. Anyone giving today, we'll put that in the resource
package. And I would be happy to cover the costs of that. So please, I mean, you got to do this today. It's a free video, but it's not just a free video. It's a video that affected two major people's lives and thousands, literally, maybe who knows how many people have seen
that
video.
Those are just the stories that we've heard about.
Right.
So, you know, when people wonder what's the fruit that comes out of these, the fruit is remarkable. And look, we can reach a certain group of people through these debates, through the video lectures. There's one more amazing open door I'll talk about in a moment. But Scott, we will do that. We right now have to just get new copies made. we're out of stock of the Who Really Killed Jesus debates, but we will absolutely do that.
And count me in to cover the costs for these people.
Okay, so instead, and it's $1,000 of DVD, so you're in for
that. All right.
No, but seriously, though, we will exchange that on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday for anyone who requests it. Instead of my two-hour debate on Calvinism, we'll put that two-hour debate in with Rabbi Shmuley.
It's an amazing debate.
We'll enclose that joyfully in your gift resource package. When we come back, I want to look at an interesting scripture. I know you wanted to bring it up from mm-hmm. Romans 15, mm-hmm. all right? But here's a number to call to stand with us to become a monthly torchbearer or with your one-time gift, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Call now or go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on Donate. Every gift helps us reach more Jewish people with the good news.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dr. Brown, I wanted you to know that you are always in front of us, still leading us. Your time and words and wisdom given to us while in school and daily through Ask Dr. Brown are treasured and appreciated. While I know it could go without saying, I'll say it anyway. Keep up the fight. You are changing lives and a true blessing. We love you.
That was a word from one of our grads. She and her husband, grads, raising a great family now and making a real difference for the Lord. So we appreciate all those words of encouragement that are coming in. The number to call, if you've got a Jewish-related testimony that relates directly to this show, 866-348-7884. We might take some calls along the way. Joined by my friend and colleague, Scott Volk. So, Scott, I know you asked me if you could bring this verse up on the air because you thought it was an important principle to share. So go ahead. Please do.
Yeah, well, it blows me away as I read the word now with my newfound eyes, just seeing something that I've never seen before out of Romans 15. Listen to this verse. Starting in verse 25, Paul says, "But now I am going to Jerusalem serving the saints." And then get a load of this. "For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, for they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things." Sometimes I think that Gentile believers, I was going to say we the church, we're now God's chosen people. I'm thankful that he does include us. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. But I think sometimes we forget the roots from which we have come. And Macedonia and Achaia were pleased because they had not only a spiritual debt to Israel, because from Israel came the Messiah and the prophets and the fathers, but also they had a spiritual debt because without Israel, there would be no salvation. And how did they repay that debt? I think there's numbers of ways to repay that debt, with a burden, with prayer, but something really natural to do is to give to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And we have an opportunity as believers in Messiah to repay our debt to Israel by sowing into ministries that support the poor and the needy in Israel, and support the lost sheep of the house of Israel by bringing the gospel to them.
And one thing we're doing as we partner with you with our first ever tour next year, in May of next year. So friends, put it on your calendar. What are the dates? Yeah. May 21st to 31st.
Something like that, yeah.
Put it on your calendar and join us. I'll be joined by my friend, Professor Michael Rudelnik, professor at Moody Bible Institute, and a fine, fine biblical scholar and teacher of the word, and a very experienced tour guide as well. It's going to be a phenomenal time, but you are actively raising funds and then putting those into needs within Israel. Let's be candid. Let's name names. Someone like Yehiel Eckstein, Rabbi Yehiel Eckstein, many Christians watch him on Christian TV.
Well, the name of his show is actually the Fellowship for Christians and Jews.
So he's a Jewish believer in Jesus?
He is a rabbi who not only does not believe in Jesus, but is not shy to say that he is not a friend of Messianic Jews.
All right, so when Christians give to his organization, are they helping reach Jewish people with the gospel?
Well, I applaud what Eckstein is doing in a way, because people are giving and they're giving to Israel. We don't know exactly where his funds are going, but we know where they're not going. Not one penny of the funds that come in go to support the poor saints, as Paul was talking about in Romans 15, in Israel. They may be going to the poor. They may be going to salaries or airplanes or airtime. I really don't know where they're going, but we know where they're not going.
Right, so he's helping in the humanitarian way, but he's not helping Messianic Jews.
Not helping believers.
And he is absolutely opposed to the evangelization of Jewish people. In fact, one of the books he recommends on his website is one that tells you that Jesus did not fulfill Messianic prophecy. And yet, Scott, I've been told, I can't verify the accuracy of this, that something like 80% of the people that give to his work think it's going towards Jewish evangelism. Here we're telling you forthrightly, it's not, and things are presented in such a way that would give you the impression that he's a fellow believer.
It's documented that over $100 million a year is coming in through his television show that is on Christian networks throughout the United States.
And friends, we're saying, send some of this money our way. Why? So we can reach Jewish people with the good news of the Messiah, and so we can partner with those in the land who are helping in humanitarian ways as well. Yeah, every Jewish person should be helped. Every needy person should be helped. There's a poor person in your community. If there are poor people overseas, yeah, we should be helping the poor in general. But if you are giving to a ministry like that, and you think that you are, and I rarely mention names in this forthright away, but it's been something that's grieved the Messianic Jewish community for many, many years now. Yeah. If you're giving thinking it's going to reach Jewish people with the gospel, quite the opposite. In fact, there are Christian ministries that you can give to, and the money will go into Orthodox Jewish schools where the kids will learn everything but Jesus. In fact, the opposite, and Christians will sell tens of millions in there.
For people who are giving to Israel, I think the best question is to get in touch with the organization to whom you're giving and ask specifically if the money is getting into the hands of the believers.
Look, friends, moments from now, a video crew is coming in to be doing some more recording for our TV show that launches next month on NRB TV across America and into different countries as well. An amazing open door. And we're starting our Answering Your Toughest Questions TV program with 32 weeks. 32 weeks on answering Jewish objections to Jesus that will equip the church to help reach Jewish people and that will help so many Jewish people come to faith, and believers who are Jewish believers getting bombarded with questions and issues, they will be equipped to stand strong. And then we're partnering with Sid Roth on massive Jewish websites in English, in Hebrew, in Russian, for specifically with one design only, and that is to reach Jewish people with the good news of the Messiah. Would you partner with us today? Would you stand with us? If you're a church pastor, leader, and you do not have Jewish missions giving on your budget, put it on your budget, and I'm sure God will bless you. Become a monthly supporter today with at least $25 or more per month. Some can easily give twice or four or 10 times that amount. Do what you can. Help with a one-time gift, and we will put in with our resource package, our $70 resource package, my debate with Rabbi Shmuley, who really killed Jesus, as part of our special way to bless you. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on donate, or specifically to become a torchbearer, join us right there. My bottom line today, what an extraordinary privilege we have partnering together with the Lord as fellow workers, taking the good news into every nation, and together reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, we all know that Jewish ministry is important, but why is it so important to the Lord? And what can every follower of Jesus do to make a difference in reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Welcome to the broadcast today. I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Scott Volk. This is Michael Brown. It's day four of a special radiothon, which means that on these live broadcasts, we're really doing our best to give you a feel of the scope of the ministry we're able to do, the lives that we're able to touch, the joint effort as you and I partner together for the gospel. And our focus is on Jewish ministry today. So we've got some great encouraging things to share with you, some neat testimonies and ways that you can partner with us. We're also going to hear from one of our grads who's going to be planting a school of ministry, a fire school of ministry in Africa, not too many months from now. The number to call through the broadcast to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Scott, what are some of the unique challenges with reaching a Jewish person with the message of Jesus? Let's say a fairly secular Jew. What would some of the challenges be?
I think family challenges would, number one, simply because of the way they were raised and what Christian and Jesus and Christ means to them. I think that might be the biggest challenge of all, because there's been such a horrific history that they would have to overcome into even having their ears opened to Jesus as Messiah.
So you're saying even a fairly secular Jew would have some type of a negative gut reaction to the teaching about Jesus?
Interestingly, I would have said that my immediate family on my mother's side were all secular Jews. However, when we came to salvation and an understanding that Jesus was Messiah, that actually sent them into being more fervent in their Jewish faith, because they had such an opposition to think that we would embrace the faith of people who had killed our people years ago. So even secular Jews, I do believe that there's an aversion.
And when your mom first had a revelation of Yeshua, of Jesus, what was your dad's reaction?
My mom was awakened in the middle of the night, having never been to church before, never seen Christian TV before, and Jesus reveals himself to her when she prayed a simple prayer, "Father, was Jesus Christ your son?" She was saved radically. My dad, who was a stockbroker on Wall Street, told her to take two aspirin and go back to bed, and that she would be fine when she came out of this delusion. The delusion never went away. And 17 months later, my dad accepted the Lord. It was no easy road, though, because even though my dad was raised in an Orthodox Jewish home, I would say he was a secular Jew as well. But Jesus is so foreign to a Jewish, to the Jewish way of thinking.
Yeah, and then if you're a more religious Jewish person, you've got 1,001 issues and objections, from the idea that Christians believe in three gods to questions about deity of Jesus, and
right,
can God be a man, and what about the Torah, and who needs
right,
blood atonement, and on and on and on. And what's interesting, we just got 30 seconds before the break, we'll come back to this. What's interesting is that even a secular Jew, when they come to faith, suddenly they get bombarded with all of the Orthodox
That's
objections.
Right.
So we have to be ready to counter them.
That's right.
And we've watched over the years, I'll share a testimony when we come back, of what's happened to Jewish people who were hit with the objections, whose faith was rattled, and then by God's grace, we were able to get involved with their lives and help.
Wonderful.
Right, a whole lot more to come. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday with my friend and colleague Scott Volk, also a Jewish believer, married to an Arab believer, a living picture of what it means to be one new person in the Messiah. 866-348-7884, always the number to call. Scott, I want to tell a story about one of our dear friends, Ron, that lives in Israel with his wife, Alana, on the front lines of Jewish ministry there, seeing Israelis coming to faith as the Holy Spirit is moving and touching lives, even seeing seeds of revival and calling on the church to pray for that. I want to talk about Ron. When was this? Let's see, 1983, so 30 years ago. Some amazing things that will encourage our listeners. But first, I want a report. It's not from Africa, but it's about to be in Africa. As each day this week, we've been speaking with our missionaries, with our fire grads in different parts of the world. And I want to talk right now to Dennis Ekabina. Dennis from Cameroon, on his way back to Cameroon. But are you still in the States right now, Dennis?
Yes, Dr. Brown, we are still in the States, getting ready to leave in October.
October. All right. And how come you are going back to Cameroon?
Well, you know, I was part of Fire School of Ministry in 2006. And after my training, 3 years later, my wife and I had the burden, you know, to go back and start Fire School in Cameroon. So we are really excited for this opportunity to go back home, you know, where we came from and start a Fire School.
Tremendous. So what's your vision, Dennis? Give us, don't be shy about it. Tell us honestly, what's your vision of what's supposed to come out of Fire School of Ministry in Cameroon, Africa?
As you know, there's a lack of theological and formal education with pastors and leaders back in Cameroon. And I know you can always hear about the news of our leaders, you know, corruption and war. We believe God is sending us to raise a new generation of world changers, leaders that can really have a voice in their nation. And we believe it's going to start with a strong biblical foundation. So whatever we've learned in Fire, our goal is that we're going to impact these leaders and they begin to make a difference in the nation, beginning with Cameroon and throughout the whole Central African region. So that is our big picture. It's not going to end with Cameroon. It's going to start with Cameroon. It's going to be a fire that will reach out to the whole of Central African region.
Tremendous. And have you secured a building yet?
We are about to secure one building. So hopefully, before the month comes to an end, we will secure a building and we are about to send a lot of stuff from the U.S., chairs, furniture, books, for a whole library. So we're in the process of doing all that in the coming months.
And Dennis, what about merging together the fire and passion of the Spirit with practical, biblical, theological training? Can you do both at the same time?
Oh, I think you can. I think without the Spirit, I believe you can explain the Scripture passionately and effectively. The Spirit is the one that inspires us. So that's our desire, that the theology we're going to bring is going to be backed by the fire of God. So they will see a change and repentance, because we have so much structure and institution back in Cameroon that the people, most Cameroonians, are religious. You talk about God, they will tell you about God, tell you about Jesus. But when it comes to living out the kingdom and the gospel, they are far from it. They are really far from it, because there is no Spirit, you know, to show them the power of God.
And Dennis, you've been in the States now for a number of years. You've traveled around. Do you feel that we need a fresh wave of revival here in America?
My desire is that God will move in America in a mighty way. My desire is that, you know, with so much strength that we hear on the news, so much things that are happening, you know, spiritually we are dying. And we need God to wake us up, you know, to wake us up and let it be fresh fire in this nation. So I think that we need a fresh wave of the Holy Spirit in America one more time again.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Our hearts beat the very same way on that. And I very much appreciate and stood with you on the book that you wrote on revival, Dennis.
Now, Thank you so much, Mr. Brown.
Oh, my joy. I'm so thrilled to be part of this and for our team to be partnering with you for the school in Cameroon and for this fire to spread all over Africa as we help train, equip, and serve the believers there. Dennis, what was the importance of your training with us at Fire School of Ministry? How did that impact your life?
I think two things, you know, one of the issues I got from fire was to have a world vision, you know, to look around, not just where I came from, but to look about the global work of what God is doing around the nation. But one of the issues that I got from fire. The second is just the spirit of seeking God. You know, I met a community of people who love to go after the Lord like never before. You know, when I came here, I thought it was just going to be like a nominal kind of Bible school, normal Christianity. But when I came here, it was like what I left back home. Like, you know, in Africa, we always love to have revivals and seeking the Lord and fasting all the time. So I met a community that impacted my life in that direction of seeking the Lord more than ever before.
I mean, that's thrilling and encouraging to hear. And Dennis, did God put anything in your heart in terms of Israel and the Jewish people while you were here?
Oh, I mean, when I came from Africa, I had no idea about the Jewish people. You know, I believe in replacement theology when I was back in Africa, that the church replaced Israel. So we were claiming the spiritual blessings and the physical blessings. We were the new Israel. But coming to fire, my mind was open about the Jewish people. You know, I had no concern about Israel, but being part of fire and knowing my Jewish roots, you know, if you'd have asked me a question that came from a probably tell you that it was for some Greek or some disciple somewhere. But knowing that the disciples were Jewish, so through my time in fire, I've been challenged to go back to the roots of Christianity, which is Jewish. And so that has put Israel in our heart, that whatever we do, we have to pray for Israel.
That, I mean, that I'm sitting here, Scott and I, Scott Folks with me, we are just grinning broadly, so encouraged by that being in your heart, and knowing that these Cameroonian leaders, as these pastors are trained, these evangelists are trained, these teachers are trained, and they go out throughout Africa, that they're going to be spreading the fire, they're going to be grounded in Scripture, but they're going to have a heart for Israel as well. So that is just so awesome to hear, Dennis, and we can't wait for the school to start. What's your official launch date?
Our official launch date is January 2014.
Nice.
So, and we are very excited because by December, we're hoping, you know, we know that Raya Bank is going to be in Cameroon to launch his crusade. From the crusade, we're also going to launch a school. So as of now, we don't even know how many students we're going to have. We may have 100, we may have 1,000 students. So we just have to be ready what can happen in Africa.
Amazing. And of course, we are standing with you inch for inch, partnering together on this, and can't wait for our first joint webcast. Our school in Holland is scheduled to launch January 2014 as well. So we can't wait for our first live webcast. We may have to be up at 4 in the morning to join with you, or your guys may have to be up at 11 at night, but we are going to do these, and we are going to stand together and face-to-face as well. God willing, Cameroon. Dennis, God bless you. We are with you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown, and the Lord continue to strengthen you for what you're doing.
Thank you, sir. Friends, I have just this tremendous joy in my own heart. I mean, here's what's happening. This is what's happening right now. Scott and I are sitting here. We're planning out this tour for Israel, May 21st to 31st of next year. Be like nothing either of us have ever done before. Mm-hmm. We are so excited about this. And not just going to some of the key places that other Christian tourists would go, but to go to places that others don't normally go. Connect you with believers in the land. And then we're going to have special teaching sessions. We're hoping to even do our live broadcast. We'll be doing it, God willing, from Israel every night, but having a setting where folks can actually sit in and watch our live broadcast, or maybe even be the ones asking questions instead of calling in. So, I mean, just a unique thing we're doing. As that's happening, as Scott, you and I are planning that out, then I'm talking to Dennis Ekobina, one of our grads, burning with fire, about to plant a school in Cameroon. We're doing it. We are planting the school with him. Our leaders are working with him. And in fact, we're going to do the administration of things from here via computer and so on, and help with their whole networking and planning out the curriculum and helping with teaching, as well as they do the core work there. Starting in Holland, we've got other countries where the schools are being launched. And here's Dennis is going to be raising up people praying for Israel.
It's amazing.
On top of it. Okay, then I'm looking through the window here. My studio adjoins my office. And Matt, our faithful producer, sits on the other side of the window there, so we're in constant contact. But I'm looking through the window now, and there's a lot of scurrying, moving around there, because there's a video crew, our video team, that is working with us for our new TV show that launches in 1 month. I think it's 1 month and 2 days. It'll be Wednesday nights at 7 on DirecTV. It's the NRB TV network. So if you have DirecTV, that's in your basic package already. Daystar, it's in your package. You can watch it online. You can watch it with apps on cell phones and different things. So they're setting up, right? I'm watching them set up, not distracted at all, but I'm watching them set up. When I finish here, we're doing recording, and we're starting, Scott, with 32 weeks.
Incredible.
On answering Jewish objections to Jesus. Friends, this has never been done, but we need you to stand with us to help us. This is a joint effort. By God's grace, I can do certain things that may be unique, but so can you. And we're encouraging you to step out and do what we all do. Step out in faith and give sacrificially to help us reach Jewish people with the gospel. Plant schools around the world. The number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Why not become a torchbearer, monthly supporter today? 1-800-278-9978, or go to askdrbrown.org and click on donate.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dr. Brown, I hope you're well today. I felt the need to encourage you and all the staff, volunteers, etc. at The Line of Fire today. You all truly are in the line of fire when you speak up for God, His ways, and His holy word daily. I've been listening to The Line of Fire since September of this year, and can you believe it? I was parked in front of Hebrew school when I first started listening. I was nannying for a child whose mother is Jewish and whose father is a Greek atheist. Their son loves Jesus. Woo-hoo! Anyway, thanks again for all you do. God bless you and be encouraged by the following scriptures. Psalm 119:6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. 1 Timothy 1:12. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. God bless.
Yeah, praise God for his faithfulness. These testimonies just keep flooding in, and we want to share them with you to let you know that by God's grace, we're making a difference. I mean, it's important for me to know that the work that we do is bearing fruit. We'll do it by faith. We'll do it to be obedient to God, even if we see nothing happen. But there's something to know that the ministry is producing fruit, and the fruit lasts. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. We are especially encouraging you and bringing fresh hope and vision and encouraging you to stand with us and partner with us in the work. The number to call to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. Scott, colleague and friend Scott Volk, you've worked in Israel together with Ron Cantor, one of my dearest friends in the world for many years, become a good friend of yours as well. He's on the front lines going for it. He's worked for years to get his modern Hebrew in good shape. He's now preaching in modern Hebrew and married to an Israeli, raising his family there, his daughters, you know, serving in the IDF and things like that. Just paint a picture of this zealous frontline worker. I'll text him afterwards to let him know we were talking about him on the air, because there's an interesting history how we connected.
Yeah, well, I find Ron to be one of really the friendliest guys that you'd ever want to meet. He's very funny, cordial, fun-loving guy. And when I met him, it was in the context of him moving down to Pensacola when we were serving together down there. So he's a great dad, a great husband. And I never would have thought that he would have ended up in Israel, even though he's got a real heart for Israel. But seeing him over there and seeing him function over there in the favor that's on his life is really, really amazing.
And he's full of joy. He's zealous. Yep. He's front line. Okay, here's how we connect. I had a student that I was teaching. I was brand new teaching in a new Bible school on Long Island. And I'm teaching at the school, have a red-haired, zealous 18-year-old student named Brian from Richmond, Virginia, tells me his best friend, Ron, is a Jewish believer, recently saved. Brian led him to the Lord. They were best friends before they were saved. In fact, one of the classic stories, they were so close that Ron could just go into Brian's house and just go to the refrigerator and have something, vice versa. And, you know, the families just knew each other. And when Ron heard that Brian had gotten saved and he was going to get rid of his old albums, his CDs and record albums then, sorry. Boy. He decided there's no reason to waste them, you know. So Ron went to the house early and came out with armloads of Brian's albums, his rock albums, you know, and because Brian was going to destroy him because he was a believer. And Brian caught him, ran and chased him down, caught him so he could destroy the album. So anyway, Ron saved, and his parents are saying, okay, would you talk to another Jewish person, you know, now that you're a believer, because they were not happy with him coming to faith in Jesus. Would you talk? So he says, okay, if you find me a Jewish person who knows God, because I know God, my life's been changed, I know God personally. You find me a Jewish person who knows God, I'll talk to him. So they find these rabbis in Brooklyn that say, you know, they'll talk with Ron. And look, they're trained professionals, very sincere Jewish men, impressed by Ron's personal testimony, which was amazing, very sincere Jewish men, and well studied in these issues. So they're throwing all kinds of things at him. He's brand new, 18 years old. I'm at this point 28 years old, but I had really been in these subjects for a while. So we connect by phone, and each day I would talk to him on the phone and say, hey, Ron, here's solid answers. Here's how you respond to this scripture, this scripture, this. So his faith was fortified at that moment, because here I was older in the Lord, and I had been digging into these things for years now. I was doing my PhD work at NYU in Semitic languages and had talked endlessly to rabbis and counter-missionaries over the years. My joy to do it. So his faith was fortified. And I told him at one point, hey, Ron, God told me you're going to make it. You're going to be fine. That's all he needed to know, that word of assurance.
Wow.
And anyway, the rest is history. His wife, Alana, actually came to faith. She was at a Messianic Jewish conference, and I preached a message there. That was the night that God saved her. And here they are on the front lines going for paving away with ministry, doing stuff I could never do. And we get to be part of this, man.
It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And if people come with us on that trip next May, I think they'll be meeting Ron and people like Ron, you know, that are giving their lives for the gospel in Israel. It's really an amazing, amazing thing to see Jewish hearts returning to the land, which is really a biblical prophetic word and tells us the times that we're living in, returning to the land and being a force in that land for Messiah. It's really wonderful.
And somehow with what we're doing, I've gone over there and helped equip believers there. My book, one of my Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus volume, it's been years and years production to get out in Hebrew. That should be coming out soon.
Amazing.
There's work to get The Real Kosher Jesus out in Hebrew. We are partnering together with Sid Roth for what will be the largest Jewish outreach websites in English, in Hebrew, and Russian. Our TV shows that we did previously, Think It Through, those have already been translated with captions in Hebrew and Russian, and are online. And we're looking for ways to really have impact, even do debates over there. So, friends, I'm not the only ministry in the world. What we're doing is there are tons of wonderful ministries all around the world worthy of support. But this is my particular unique role. This is my particular unique contribution. And we're asking you to stand with us here. God made me to be kind of like the tip of an arrow, or my head to be like the tip of a battering ram that gets smashed against the wall. But we need people running with that battering ram. We need people pulling the bow back to shoot that arrow out, because it's a joint effort. I need you as much as you need me to get the work done. So would you stand with us? You wanted to say something.
I just want to say something really quickly. I walked into an Orthodox Jewish bookstore in the Jewish quarter of the Old City, and the two Orthodox Jewish brothers who run that store, when they found out I worked with Dr. Michael Brown, these are unsaved Jews. They knew exactly who you were, exactly what you were doing, and really welcomed me into the store. It's amazing.
Wow. That's amazing. Call right now to stand with us. Would you become a monthly torchbearer? 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Click donate.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, it is that special time of the week, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. So even on our Radiothon week, we keep Thoroughly Jewish Thursday thoroughly Jewish. So you're going to be blessed by what we have to share. We've got some neat phone calls, some classic phone calls from, a few months back. We want to play for you as well. That, trust me, they will bring a big smile to your face. And let me give you the number to call as we stand here, sit here, stand together as we sit live on the air for the special Radiothon week. To stand with us, to call with your gift of support, to become a monthly torchbearer, the number to call is 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My friend and colleague for many years, Scott Volk. I almost said Dr. Scott Volk.
You could say Dr. Scott Volk. That would be fine.
All right. In fact, that reminds me of something. Some of you saw online this video that we posted. Is Dr. Brown your favorite doctor? And Scott is directly involved with that. Okay, first, let's hang on here. Tell everyone how old your kids are.
I have a 23-year-old, a 22-year-old, a 20-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 3-year-old.
So the 3-year-old was a bit of a surprise to you and your Lebanese
Arab wife. I would
say
a bit of a surprise would be an understatement.
Okay. Classic when we heard the news from you and your wonderful wife, Beth, an Arab believer.
Yes.
So a Jewish believer and an Arab believer together. All right. Last year, when Olivia was 2, you recorded a video and posted it, where you asked her about a few people. You asked her about Rabbi Shmuley. What do you think of Rabbi Shmuley? And she said something, you know, nice, he's awesome or something. Yes. And you said, Olivia, what do you think of Dr. Brown? And she said,
I think she said, Dr. Brown is Jesus.
She said, Dr. Brown is Jesus. And then you asked her again, and she reiterated that.
Yes.
All right, well, okay, so now some months later, she's 3 years old, and you ask her the question. Now, did you guys set her up?
I did not set her up. I promise you, I did not set,
you
her,
set
up.
Her up.
I didn't set her up.
I see you're sincere.
Yes.
You asked her, is Dr. Brown your favorite doctor? To which she said,
she said no, and I said, who's your favorite doctor? And she said, Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
So I just shot you a text, never dreaming that you would put it on Facebook.
Well, we put it on Facebook, and it created the who's your favorite doctor epidemic.
Epidemic.
It didn't exactly go viral. A few hundred, but staff started posting things.
Yes,
friends,
we were laughing.
Colleagues. I mean, it got really funny. But finally, it got settled. When my beautiful wife, Nancy, looking a little different.
She had a mustache, and I would say she was probably experiencing mustache envy as people would look at you with your mustache. She had that mustache on.
Well, I'm sitting at my desk downstairs in our house, and she comes downstairs,
uh-huh.
And she's got on the glasses and mustache, you know,
mustache,
one of those things.
Yes.
And so I asked her the question, is Dr. Brown your favorite doctor? She says, absolutely. Now, if you want to watch that together with a bunch of other wonderful videos, debate with my friend Rabbi Shmuley.
You can throw that video in with your new partner package.
Well, that's a little bit too much. We don't want to over the level of excitement. It would be too much when people get the package or a partner package. But go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and then you'll just see right there on the homepage, you'll see when you look on the right to join us on Facebook or Twitter or by email, and you'll see a YouTube link. Click on that YouTube link. That'll go to my YouTube channel.
That's great.
And when you go there, just scroll down. You'll see who's your favorite doctor. And the very first one, that is Scott's daughter, Olivia. The very last one is my beautiful bride, Nancy, not looking as gorgeous and beautiful as she normally does because of the mustache.
But she did shave her mustache after, correct?
Well, she took the glasses and mustache off. Scott, once my dear friend. All right, we come back. I want to share some really, really neat radio call testimonies with you. You don't want to miss these, trust me.
God
of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast with my friend and colleague, Scott Volk, as we talk about the church and Jewish ministry. And I'm looking through the window here, the glass pane that goes from my studio into my office. There is a flurry of activity I see.
Really exciting.
Yeah, it is. There's all this video stuff being set up as we are. As soon as I'm done here, I'm going to change my shirt, put a jacket on. We'll find out what the wardrobe coordinator has to say. And because that's it. Got to look my best. That's always a high value, the expensive wardrobe. Someone commented I was doing a debate on the suit I was wearing. I said, same suit for like 8 years. But anyway, we'll look our best for TV because we are recording certain spots that are going to tie in with my new TV broadcast that begins next month on NRB TV. At least 32 million homes will have access to it. And there'll be many other ways you can watch if you don't have access to it on your cable network. But we're starting with a 32-week series on answering Jewish objections
awesome.
To Jesus. And I know for a fact this has never been done.
What do I have to do to get on your show?
Well, first thing, it's 32 weeks that have already been recorded. I recorded this entire series, so it's going to be tough. What you're going to have to do is bribe these video guys so that somewhere as I'm recording, your
yes.
head pops up and or you go running across.
Alfred Hitchcock used to do that,
yeah.
So maybe I can get my face in there somehow.
And I heard that Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ, that he appears in the movie.
Wow.
That it is his hands nailing Jesus to the cross.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is certainly a revelation for all of us. All right. To stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. Scott, why can't Jewish people just take care of reaching Jewish people? Why do we, as Jewish believers in Jesus, say that we cannot do this without the help of the church? And in fact, that many Jewish people are not going to come to faith through a Jewish witness, but through a Gentile Christian witness. Why do you believe that?
I believe it because the Lord specifically says through the word that the reason why the church is the church, the reason why Gentiles have been grafted in, is to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. We can't just be reaching our own people. I think there's a mandate on us, not just to the Jewish people, but to the world. There's a mandate on all of us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But there's something about that Romans 1:16 verse, to the Jew first, that Paul was speaking not to just Jewish believers. He was speaking to Romans. It's time to go to the Jew first. We can't do it by ourselves because we're not called to do it by ourselves. There's a calling, an undeniable calling on the church to provoke Israel to jealousy. That comes through prayer, that comes through evangelization, it comes through giving. We need the church, Jew and Gentile together, to be a demonstration to Israel of the authenticity of Jesus as Messiah.
So what does it come down to in terms of how Christians should live to provoke Jewish people envy? I once heard a teacher say that because Jews have a lot of money, Christians need to make more money to provoke Jews, which is one of the most carnal things
yeah,
I've ever heard.
I don't necessarily stand behind that one. But if you look at the book of Romans, there's three chapters that's devoted specifically towards Israel, Romans 9, 10, and 11. And then the very next thought that Paul gives in Romans chapter 12, he says, therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. There's something about believers in order to reach the Jewish people and to reach Israel, Romans 9, 10, and 11, there comes Romans 12 and beyond that gives, I think, a practical handbook on how we can provoke Israel to jealousy. Maybe it starts by presenting our bodies as a sacrifice to God and living holy and not being conformed to the world, but being transformed. I think that's what Israel's waiting for.
And when Paul starts Romans 12, 1, and he says, I beseech you, King James, I beseech you, brethren, words that ring true in our ears, right? In view of God's mercies,
yes.
The mercies he's talking about is how God's consigned all the unbelief, Jew and Gentile alike, so he can have mercy on all. But he says there in that context that God has had mercy on the Gentile people through Jewish unbelief, that gospel's now gone.
That's right.
Because this was originally a Jewish possession.
Jewish possession.
About the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah.
And through that, it goes to the whole church. And then, look, I got saved through the witness of Gentile Christians. Most Jews in America will get saved through the witness of Gentile Christians. And by the way, when I say Gentile Christians, it's not to speak in a derogatory way, but to say specifically, I'm not talking about through Jewish believers. So many come through a church witness. People say, well, I don't understand. I don't know Hebrew. I don't know what to say. Can a Christian share their testimony, share the word without knowing Hebrew?
Absolutely, they can share their testimony and share the word. Obviously, many, many Jewish believers today are believing in Yeshua because of the witness of a non-Jewish believer. And I think through the simplicity of those words, simply that their lives were changed, and a recognition of the fact that we are believers because of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it really is a provocation to them.
It really is. And the fact is, most American Jews don't know Hebrew anyway.
Right.
Most American Jews are more secular. And then when it comes to reaching the really religious, your testimony may be the most important thing.
We were in Israel at the naval base with a group of people, and the naval officer walked in and said, "Why are you here? You're the first American group to ever come into this place." I looked at the naval officer. I said, "Why don't you ask the people who are with us?" So he said, "Why are you here?" A woman in her 70s raises her hand and says, "We're here because we're Christians who love the God of Israel." And that man was reduced to tears. He literally had to walk out of the room. We wonder how we can be a witness to Jewish people. You don't need to know Hebrew. All you need to know is that you love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you express that to them. It can change their hearts.
And you want to know the joy that you experience when you hear of a Jewish person coming to faith. We got a call last year from an 88-year-old Orthodox Jewish woman in Brooklyn. When she turned 88, God miraculously opened her eyes. The way she described it, Jesus knocked at the door of her heart, and she was saved. This, I think, was the second time she called into my broadcast, because we began to send her materials, my books on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, and she'd read them. I said, "As soon as you're finished, we'll send you more." When I asked her the first time, "Did you read?" Because I read 7 hours a day.
Oh, man.
So let's hear from our friend Sarah. So, Sarah, I just had one quick question for you. How is it that you came to listen to this broadcast?
I came to listen to the broadcast because since Jesus knocked on the door of my heart, I found WMCA 570, and it was the Christian radio station. I started to listen to it, and there was the awesome, how can you describe, Dr. Michael Brown. And that's how I came to know you. I was led to you through Yeshua Jesus. Find you and learn the real kosher Jesus. That's
Sarah,
how I found you.
Well, God bless you. I'm just smiling broadly, and I'm so glad you got our books. We'll stay in touch with you, and
hopefully,
as soon as you finish those, we'll send you more, and love to connect you with other believers in the Brooklyn area. So thanks for calling. Stay in touch with us.
Yes, I just want to say, I have to say this to everybody, and I'm going to start crying for joy, to discover my true identity of who am I. I'm an image of God and a likeness, and I can feel it. I can feel it when I wake up in the morning, to discover who you truly are, a divine consciousness. And you live and you have your being in a divine mind. And now, just like you're the perfect model, Dr. Brown, to be a beneficial presence in the world.
Oh, well, Sarah, God bless you. And our goal, of course, is to point everyone to Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, so that God can be glorified and our people can come to know him. Sarah, you've got many friends out there that you've never met, and they're praying for you. Thanks for calling again.
God bless. Thank you, everybody.
All right, I've got another Sarah clip. I'll play in the next segment, but you know she's been sharing her faith and witnessing to other Jewish people, and God just opened her eyes miraculously and unexpectedly. I have to believe that's because people like you were praying for the salvation of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, for God to open hearts and open minds and say, Lord, show your mercy and love to the Jewish people. You've shown your mercy and love to us that are not Jews. Maybe you're praying prayers like that. Now show your mercy and love to the Jewish people. And, you know, the neat thing, Scott, wherever I travel, if I'm doing Jewish-related ministry, Jewish believers will come up to me, and they'll want me to know that they got saved, and then they were bombarded with objections, with questions, and then they got my books on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, or DVDs, or saw some of the debates we did, as a result of which their faith was restored, and they've gone on in the Lord. They've posted on Facebook and said, hey, I've been able to keep my faith because they got bombarded with serious questions from serious thinking Jewish people, rabbis, counter-missionaries. So we have been able to equip and help strengthen. Friends, as you hold my hands up, you're helping us reach Jewish people and minister grace and faith to those who are believers.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dr. Brown, I just received your books today and eagerly opened the package just now. I took a quick look through Whatever Happened to the Power of God and read parts of your chapter, It's Time to Rock the Boat. Oh, I am so inspired. I want to take a more courageous stand for Christ. Thank you for being a powerful witness. I am praying that He will use these books to grow me in boldness, awaken me, and send me where He will. Oh, that He will surround me with more believers that have a passionate, bold faith and raise up a generation of courageous warriors for Him. Thank you for being a fearless, obedient servant of His, a wonderful example to so many. Thank you for your prayers and for the gift of these books. They couldn't have arrived at a more perfect time. God is so good. With a grateful heart and excitement to see what He wants to reveal.
Well, again, thank you for those words of encouragement and testimony that we've been playing through the week. We are flooded with these, which is just a humbling thing to see that the Word of God is bearing fruit. You know, Scott, my friend Scott Volk here with me in studio, when I came to faith, I got bombarded with Jewish objections. I sat for hours with religious Jews, with learned men, with sincere men, and they challenged me. They really challenged my faith. They challenged me intellectually. And I knew if I'm following the truth, then the truth can withstand objections. So I've never shied away from that. Let the challenge come. And through that, we've produced 5 volumes on answering Jewish objections to Jesus and a 22-hour DVD series on countering the counter-missionaries. I got branded by a counter-missionary online years ago as public enemy number one, which I took as a compliment. And Scott, you were saying the last half hour, something interesting happened when you were in Jerusalem?
Yeah, in the old quarter of the city, the Jewish quarter of the city, there's a Judaica bookshop run by 2 Orthodox Jewish rabbis. One of the things that they enjoy doing is opening up their shop. They're no dummies, they're businessmen, so they'll open up their shops for Christian groups to come through, and they'll sit down and they'll chat with people when they come in. So these guys have seen me year after year, but when I walked in this year, they said, oh, we remember you. You work with Dr. Michael Brown. And I thought to myself, how amazing is that? The 2 Orthodox Jews in the old city of Jerusalem who run a Judaica shop know of you. And you know, we were just chatting. You're sitting in a fairly small room here, but the impact that your ministry has across the world, not only are you known in believing circles, but you're known in Orthodox Jewish circles as well. It's quite a phenomenal thing.
And may it be that Jesus Yeshua is known through
Amen.
You and me as
Amen.
As we become known to our Jewish people more and more. And friends, we're expanding our outreach in Israel. We're expanding our outreach in Hebrew in Israel. And I just want to play one more clip just to bring a smile to your face and then to tell you how you can partner with us. But our friend Sarah from Brooklyn, 88 years old, miraculously came to faith when God sovereignly revealed His Son to her last year. Just one more call from our friend Sarah. Hey, Sarah, so nice to hear from you.
Yes, yes, it's awesome to hear from you, and thank you and bless you in Jesus'
named Hallelujah for the most beautiful foundational spiritual nutritional food that you sent me through your material. But I have to share something with you. I went to a very special place on Saturday, and they were singing Hallelujah and everything. And as they were singing, I closed my eyes, dear Dr. Brown, and I had a vision that I was walking down an aisle. I was dressed in a bride's gown. I went under a canopy, and then a man came following and stood next to me. And then I heard the person say, "Do you, Shifra, my Hebrew name is Shifra Sarah, take this a very special person and who will be your royal king and Messiah?" Yes, for your wedded husband, and to go into your heart. I said yes, and then the person turned to this gentleman and said, "Do you take Shifra Sarah to be your wedded wife and to be her comforter and her teacher?" And he said yes, and I now pronounce you man and wife. And he put the ring on my finger, and everybody was at this place that I was, this special messianic place. They all said, "I do, I do." So Saturday, dear Michael, I was married.
Wow.
I asked him, he said, "Tell them to all say I do," the whole congregation, personally, out loud, not in the vision. And they all said I do, because she told me to go under the canopy. And so, isn't that... I just finished the canopy in my vision, and it came out alive.
That's amazing. You have a relationship with the living God, and things like that can happen. So thanks for sharing that, Sarah.
Oh,
God bless you.
Bless you.
Stay in touch.
Hallelujah. For Michael Brown. Instead of saying three cheers, I'll say hallelujah, 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 for Dr. Michael Brown. Amen.
No wonder you like playing her clips.
That's what happens when an 88-year-old Jewish woman gets sovereignly saved by God opening her heart and her mind, and then she discovers this program on our great New York station, WMCA, and faithful listeners. So we have the joy of sending her materials. And I think we just send it, you know, joyfully. I think she sent us $2 the other day, which is just the the sweetest imaginable
thing. It's wonderful.
Friends, you want to hear those clips, play them for your friends as well. Just bring a smile to your face. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and just click on latest videos. It's up as just a YouTube video just with her name, Sarah from Brooklyn. So just go to AskDrBrown.org and look for, click on latest videos. And while you're there, click on latest articles, latest audio, latest blog. You'll be edified. You'll be blessed. Friends, I'm asking you to stand with me as we increase our outreach presence in Israel in Hebrew, as we begin to do outreach, Jewish outreach in Russian, as we massively increase our Jewish outreach web presence in English, as we launch our brand new TV show with 32 weeks on answering Jewish objections to Jesus starting next month, as we continue to broadcast every Thursday, our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast, I'm asking you to generously partner with us. I'm asking you, if you're a pastor or leader, to put Jewish ministry on your church budget and sow into this work. I'm asking you to give a one-time gift, or better still, to become a torch bearer. We'll send you a copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, my book, Time for Holy Fire, and my two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley, Who Really Killed Jesus? Classic debate.
Rabbi Shmuley didn't kill Jesus.
No. Who Really Killed Jesus? With Rabbi Shmuley. Classic debate from 2004. Call right now. Stand with us. Hold my hands up this week. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to AskDrBrown.org. Click donate. My bottom line today, it's not just the harvest worldwide that's ripe, it's the Jewish harvest that's ripe. God wants to use you to touch a Jewish person with the good news of Yeshua.